Is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel's strike in Doha has killed a Qatari internal security officer. That, according to Qatari officials, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel was targeting Hamas leaders based in Doha, saying Hamas leaders organized the October 7th attacks and continue attacks on Israel. The U.S. says it was not involved. At a White House briefing today, Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt says the U.S. military informed the Trump administration of the strike in Qatar.
President Trump also spoke to Prime Minister Netanyahu after the attack. The Prime Minister told President Trump that he wants to make peace, and quickly. President Trump believes this unfortunate incident could serve as an opportunity for peace.
The UN has condemned the strike. Newly revised government figures showing U.S. employers hired far fewer people last year and up till March of 2025. Those revisions showing 911,000 fewer jobs added. The White House now blaming the Biden administration. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. A bill that would ban sextortion is making its way through the Wisconsin legislature. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
In these crimes, scammers target teens, often teen boys, pretending they could be a romantic interest. They get the teens to send intimate photos or videos of themselves, and then they turn on them. Sextortionists then blackmail their victims. They say, send us money or we'll release the intimate content. Sometimes they even threaten teens by saying they'll report them to police because they created child pornography. 28 states have sextortion laws on the books, according to the Cyber Civil Rights Initiative. Now lawmakers want Wisconsin to be the 29th. The bill is inspired by Braden Bone. The teenager was targeted in a sextortion plot in March, and he took his own life. His family testified at an emotional Senate committee hearing yesterday. His mom, Brittany Bird.
If Braden in his death can save even one more kid, that makes it a little less heavy.
Many of these scammers are outside the U.S., so finding the perpetrators and holding them accountable is often complicated for law enforcement. But more and more kids are now being targeted. Braden's stepdad, Luke Bird.
In 2021, there were 139 reported cases of financial sextortion targeting minors within the United States. That number's jumped to 36,000 reported victims in 2024. This is per the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children. That's a 26,000% increase in a three-year span.
The bill has already passed the Assembly unanimously. It's expected to get similar support in the full Senate. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Brewer baseball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Game two of the Brewers and Rangers tonight in Texas. Milwaukee losing last night 5-0, but one bright spot was the return of Christian Yelich to the lineup. Yelich had missed the past five games with a bad back. Pat Murphy after the game.
Yeah, he's on it. It was a great day for him. Came up kind of empty, got him one hit, but he hit two other balls that, you know, they're homers in some parks.
NFL, the Packers host the Commanders on Thursday Night Football. I asked Micah Parsons how he was holding up after just a week to get ready for the Lions game.
Physically, obviously draining. That was like my first game of just constant snaps, repetition, things like that. So obviously I got to, you know, recover, do everything I need to do to get ready for Thursday. But emotionally, I couldn't be more happy, you know, to get my first win in Lambeau, having amazing fans. You know, I told J-Love that's our first one, and I can't wait to keep stacking them.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with Sports on. I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Mostly cloudy with highs reaching the mid-70s, a feisty south wind, and showers and maybe some rumbles of thunder moving in. We stay wet through the overnight, and maybe some sprinkles lingering early tomorrow morning. Then the sunshine returns and highs go back to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's Civic Media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community, and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5:30, we talk with the indomitable Stacey Abrams about how to build the big tent for Democrats in 2026 to return this country to the hands of working people. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 9th, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody, to World Headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison, looking out on State Street right now. We'll call it mostly sunny skies, some high clouds right now, but beautiful fall day. Going to be just right on schedule in terms of temperature and sun this week. Maybe a little bit of clouds and rain Friday or Saturday. But, wow, it is just perfect fall weather, in my opinion, right now. Big show today, Zommers. Can't wait. How was your evening last night?
It was nice. I did not a lot, and I'm okay with it.
Chilled out. Yeah, chilled out a little bit. Yeah, big show today. Really looking forward to it in hour number two. And if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like, and if you're not, why the heck aren't you? No, I'm just kidding. But if you're looking at the visuals today, we have the set dressed up in Brewers gears. I'm in my Brewer polo shirt today. We have our t-shirt, our very limited edition, just a bit outside t-shirt on the set right now. I wore that to a couple of Brewers games this year, and people come up and say, how can we buy that? Sadly, not available yet. However, you can watch the great film Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, tonight for free. In hour two, we're going to detail it and tell you exactly how. Friends of the program, Sean Hanisch and Kelly Call, the director, producer, and producer, respectively, of this great film. We're going to be here talking about how you can see it tonight, how you can watch the film for free tonight. Also, they were a big part of the Bob Uecker Celebration of Life at AmFam Field a few weeks ago. Going to talk to them about what that experience was like. So always great to catch up with Kelly and Sean, and we'll do that in hour number two. The Brew Crew on the air on the radio tonight, so you can watch it on television, turn the sound down, and listen to it on the radio. Always a great option, great choice. You can hear it tonight starting at 6:30. With a pregame show on the radio, the first pitch just after 7 o'clock in Texas, Arlington, Texas. The Rangers hosting the Brewers. Weird game last night. Crew lost 5-0, and Jose Quintana didn't pitch all that terribly, but just a couple of pitches. One of them was a grand slam for Texas, and, you know, that's all it took. So just kind of a weird game for the Brewers last night. Feels like they're going to get back on track today. Certainly hope they will. Here's the good news, though. The Brewers' magic number in terms of winning the National League Central down to 11 as the Cubs lost again to Atlanta last night. So the magic number for the Crew down to 11 in the Central, 13 is the magic number if they want to get the number one seed for the National League and the overall Major League Baseball seed as well. In terms of just making the postseason, Brewers' magic number simply down to 3. So that's pretty much a foregone conclusion. So lots of Brewers talk coming up in hour number 2. Also, a what's worse today, a toasty edition in hour 2, talking wheat versus white toast. And coming up at the bottom of this hour, Lee Sensenbrenner, Assistant Deputy Director to the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Bet you didn't know this. It's the statewide Department of Workforce Development Month. Going to talk about jobs, what's going on in Wisconsin job-wise. My old boss, Dale Schultz, once said, and it's very pertinent today. At the time, I thought, what the heck does he mean? But one time we were walking around the Capitol over lunch, and he said, yeah, it's a real good time if you got a job to keep it. And if you don't have a job, it's a good time to get one. I thought, what? But I mean, in today's environment, pretty much true.
Is that ever not true?
Well, that was my question. But I think the you know, sometimes the market is, you know, favors people looking for work better. And it's like, yeah, a lot of people are hiring. Maybe you can take a risk. But in this environment where, you know, jobs are getting tighter, might be a good time to keep it.
That's true.
Never a bad time, I don't think, to get a job. So anyway, we'll be talking jobs after the bottom of the hour here. Also going to play a cut from our friend Dr. Kristen Lierley. You can hear the Kristen Lierley Show across a couple of the stations on this network, but always via the Civic Media app. You can listen to her at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on WISS out of Oshkosh on Saturday and Sunday, and the show airs at 9 a.m. on WGBW. Now playing music and a little bit of news as well. I think doesn't Pete Schwab's program air on GBW?
Sure does.
He survived. We did not at GBW, but he survived. He's a hunkerer, that Schwab. Anyway, and also Dr. Lierley, you can hear her program. Anyway, she's got some actual medical thoughts on Tylenol and the goofiness coming out of Washington and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services talking about Tylenol and pregnant women. But here's where I want to start at 12 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock for a Tuesday. We have a new entry into the governor's race in the state of Wisconsin. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Hope Carnop, great reporter. Another Democrat is throwing their name into the ring as Wisconsin's 2026 race for governor heats up. Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley formally launched his campaign today in an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Crowley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez in the Democratic primary field, though others are expected to jump in. On the Republican side, manufacturing CEO Bill Berrien and Washington County Executive Josh Shulman have launched bids, and U.S. Rep. Tom Tiffany is expected to announce soon. Crowley said he wants to build on Democratic Governor Tony Evers' work using his legislative experience in the state capitol and leadership of the state's largest county. Now, Crowley put out a video today announcing this, and thank God I got Zommers around who understands things. Because for the life of me, I was trying to find this video to play for y'all because we did the same thing when Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez announced. We played about a minute of hers. We'll play about a minute of Crowley's. And so I'm like, well, I'll go to the website. Turns out, as near as we can tell, there is no Crowley for Governor website yet. Yet. So, but Zommers, God love him, found it. Where do you find it? On Twitter.
On Twitter.
Not on his executive page, but on
his personal Twitter, as far as
David
I can tell.
David C. Crowley, you said. So yep. Available at David C. Crowley on Twitter or X, whichever you prefer, if you want to watch the whole thing. Here is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, the first part of his announcement this morning on X.
I didn't grow up in the halls of power. I grew up here and here and here. Evicted 3 times as a kid, having to pick up yourself and everything you own off the curb. It'll break you, or it'll make you. I'm David Crowley, and I didn't want any child to go through that. So I became a community organizer. I went on to serve in the state assembly, where I saw what happens when extremists had total control. And I'd had enough. So at 33, I returned home, elected to lead the largest county in Wisconsin, helping create thousands of new jobs, cutting our carbon emissions in half, balancing the budget, all while delivering the largest property tax cut in our history, and convincing Madison to return more money right back to every local community across the state. But the progress we've made isn't nearly enough. With costs shooting up, we're all getting less, even if you're making more. And Donald Trump's chaos and cruelty means that the Wisconsin that we cherish will perish unless we unite and fight back. So I've laid out my vision for a Wisconsin that works for everyone. Stronger schools, safer streets, lower costs, and a lot more jobs.
Today, so there, that there you go. That's about a minute or so of the clip there. You can watch the whole thing at David C., as in cat, David C. Crowley, on X or Twitter, whichever you prefer. And it would, you know, I get it. These things are fast moving or whatever, but I hope that they put out a website soon so you can have, we also looked on YouTube, right? We couldn't find like a YouTube channel or anything like that. So other places had the video, but God love Aaron Zommer's, our great producer. He found it and there for all of you, your listening enjoyment. David Crowley, Milwaukee County executive, throwing his hat into the ring. Back to this story by Hope Carnop at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where Crowley decided to announce, and not, you know, not unexpected, state's largest newspaper, and also the newspaper there for Milwaukee County as well. A couple of sub-headlines here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. What is David Crowley's political experience, it writes? Well, in 2020, Crowley became Milwaukee's first Black county executive and the youngest person to hold office. His policies have included fighting the opioid crisis, creating more affordable housing, and reducing carbon emissions. He oversees a $1.4 billion, with a B, dollar budget in the county that's facing a $47 million deficit and looming financial trouble. Crowley helped negotiate a shared revenue deal with Republicans in 2023 to avoid a financial crisis in the city and county. Recently, Crowley has led the county's response to historic flooding that damaged homes, businesses, and public infrastructure, urging President Donald Trump to approve a disaster declaration and start the flow of federal aid. Before running for county executive, Crowley served two terms in the state assembly. His career in politics began as an organizer for Russ Feingold's U.S. Senate campaign in 2010, aiming to boost Black voter turnout. He also worked as a legislative aide to county supervisor and state senator Nakia Harris-Dodd. So there you go. A little background on our newest entry into the race for governor, David Crowley, Milwaukee County Executive. And many thanks to Luke Mathers, our director of operations here on the News Talk side. We have secured Mr. Crowley to be on the show tomorrow at 3:35. But in fairness, and, you know, Pat Kreitlow is a friend of ours, we'll plug that up. I believe that Mr. Crowley, County Executive Crowley, is going to be on mornings with Pat Kreitlow tomorrow morning. So tune in between 6 and 9. We'll find out the exact time. We'll look at our content calendars, Zommer's there. We'll pass that along for people. So two chances to hear Crowley live tomorrow, once on Pat Kreitlow's program, mornings with Pat Kreitlow in the morning, and then at 3:35 tomorrow afternoon here on this program. So that'll be a lot. We appreciate him coming on. Yeah, now look at Zommer's right on top of it again. 8:50. Yeah, so it'll be 8:50 right at the very end of the program tomorrow. So set your alarms, wake up the kids, 8:50 in the morning. Tune into Mornings of Pat Kreitlow across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the Civic Media app, and you can hear his interview with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. And then we'll have the executive at 3:35 in the afternoon on our program. Gonna be very interesting. Can't wait to talk with him. Have heard him on other programs. And guy who really understands politics, I think, really has been able to cut across different political lines in Milwaukee County. And going to be very interesting now to see him go statewide. And, I, you know, there's always the knock any candidate coming out of the Milwaukee area. Oh, well, you just, you know, you don't understand the rest of the state. Going to be interesting to see how he answers that question, how he's thought through that, and how he might be already planning to inoculate himself from attacks from the Republican Party who might view him as a threat. So we'll talk with David Crowley tomorrow, Milwaukee County Executive, on entering the race for governor tomorrow at 3:35. Come on back. Going to talk about the latest hubbub and brouhaha on Tylenol. Is it safe for women? We have a definitive answer from our own Dr. Wiley. She'll give you the details. Not going to want to miss it. Stay tuned on the All Ball Show on Civic Media.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along across the state of Wisconsin, from Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, and all points in between. A couple other headlines for you on this Tuesday afternoon. President Donald Trump says he will not comment on the Epstein birthday book letter. He calls it, quote unquote, a dead issue. I bet he does. Turned out this thing was released last night through a subpoena through Congress. This birthday book that exists, and allegedly there's a drawing of there of apparently a naked woman and a message that Trump appeared to sign his name. It's very squiggly, and the way it was positioned is just gross. I mean, it was supposed to be like her pubic hair. His signature. He denied that it existed. Now it's come forward. It appears allegedly to be real. And Trump now saying that it's fake. Stay tuned for more on that. Also, Apple announcing the new iPhone Air and iPhone 17 and new wearables. I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff going on there. And this is and coming up in hour two, going to be talking to Kelly Call and Sean Hannish about their film, Just About a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, how you can watch it for free across broadcast television in Wisconsin tonight, following the Brewers versus the Rangers game. And off the text line, you can text us as well on the Civic Media app, Manuel from Madison, listening to us on WMDX. Manuel, thanks for the listen. Appreciate that. He says, I had a great time with my Apple TV crew in Pittsburgh on Friday. I bought the maple syrup for the interview, and after the game, Murph came to hang out with our crew at the hotel bar, and he's got a photo of it. So that's super cool. Manuel, A, thank you for listening to our little program here. And B, if you'd like, call in hour number two when we're talking to Sean and Kelly. Always great to have some insight there. Because if you watch the Apple TV broadcast on Friday, as I did, their great sideline performer or interviewer, and I apologize for not knowing her name off the top of my head, she was the one that started the big pocket pancake thing with Murphy. And on Friday of this week, now he has a pocket quesadilla he pulled out. And the sideline reporter pulled out some maple syrup. Well, apparently Manuel is the one that bought that. So how about that? Pretty cool. All right, let's get to this quickly. This from National Public Radio. The Trump administration is planning a report this month that will reportedly link the use of a common painkiller, acetaminophen, sold under the brand name Tylenol, during pregnancy, as well as certain vitamin deficiencies to autism spectrum disorder, despite lacking the scientific research to back up such claims. This is just the latest controversy surrounding the actions of Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has repeated unsupported claims, let me say that again, unsupported claims about autism in the past, and promised to, quote, get to the bottom, unquote, of its cause. And this is breaking today. More news breaking at this hour. Kennedy releasing this, quote, make our children healthy again promise, and tries to link Tylenol to autism. Our very own Dr. Kristen Wiley put out word on this, a statement on Insta, I believe, yesterday. Here are the facts from our very own Dr. Kristen Wiley.
Does Tylenol in pregnancy cause autism? It's all over social media, so let's break it down. I get it. We all want answers about what causes autism. I'm an OBGYN doctor, but I'm also a mom. And I know that parents are desperate for information, for something to explain, something to prevent autism. That desperation is completely understandable, and it's not new. So here's what caught my attention. Back in April, RFK Jr. made this oddly specific promise that we'd know what causes autism by September. How could anybody know that timeline? That's just not how science works. Look, there are theories. There are associations. Studies looking at acetaminophen or Tylenol use during pregnancy have suggested that there may be an association between acetaminophen, Tylenol use, and pregnancy. But association is not causation, and other studies have disproven this association. So, in other words, we still don't know what causes autism, and it's likely multifactorial due to many different causes. Here's what the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists actually says. Any medication taken during pregnancy should be used only as needed, in moderation, and after consulting with your doctor. That's it. That's the guidance. Not panic, not bans, just talk to your doctor, use what you need, and use it wisely. Your healthcare provider knows your individual situation. Random people on the internet making September predictions? They don't. Listen, there's a lot at stake here. Please make sure you are getting solid, evidence-based information that is tailored to your specific situation. Your future literally depends on it.
Dr. Kristen Wiley, a medical doctor. Let me say that again. A medical doctor, OBGYN, giving us the facts on Tylenol and acetaminophen. Just check with your own doctor. No reason to ban anything. There's no actual evidence, scientific evidence, that acetaminophen is causational or causes autism. And this is why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Trump administration are so dangerous when it comes to our health, because they're allowing politics to drive the narrative on health and not science and not data and not research. So talk with your actual doctor, folks, before you do any of this stuff. Don't take a politician's word out in Washington, D.C. Talk to your local doctor about what's best for you. Thank you, Dr. Lyle, for putting that out. Going to come back, talk about something else that's important, jobs. with Lee Sensenbrenner, Assistant Deputy Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. But right now, time for farm news with Pam Yonke and the Midwest Farm Report. You're listening to the All Ball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
StatCap is proposing an increase in fees for livestock yards, dealers, and haulers. But what exactly will these increased fees be affecting? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, is here to give an inside look on the proposed Chapter 12 fee increases.
Chapter 12 is the chapter that really impacts what we're doing. And there's an annual registration or annual license fee that we pay for our markets to be licensed every year. And then dealers, so livestock dealers, as well as livestock truckers, also have to pay an annual registration fee. And primarily what that does is it funds the audits. So in our case, our livestock markets, our markets are all Class A markets because of the number of sales we have in a year. So as Class A markets, a debt cap auditor comes out to our facility quarterly.
Kurt Larson, the president and CEO of Equity Livestock, joining us. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at some agriculture news right after this.
At the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, they know your business has always been something special. Now you can let customers know it too, in an instant, with the red and yellow Something Special from Wisconsin sticker. Joining the program gives you access to supplier and distribution information, marketing support, and a community of like-minded Wisconsin businesses. Best of all, you'll let people know that your work is done with care, quality, and love. You've always been something special. Visit somethingspecialfromwisconsin.com to make it official.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504.
Innovation.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at some agriculture news. The Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is once again holding their Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin competition. The nomination period is open through September 12th, and the announcement of the Coolest Thing Made in Wisconsin for this year will be held on October 23rd. In other news, at the World Dairy Expo Championship Dairy Product Contest, Wisconsin showed why we are America's Dairyland by taking home 52.3% of all cow's milk cheese awards. With a look at some agriculture news from the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Mostly cloudy with highs reaching the mid-70s, a feisty south wind, and showers and maybe some rumbles of thunder moving in. We stay wet through the overnight, and maybe some sprinkles lingering early tomorrow morning. Then the sunshine returns and highs go back to the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 76.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Dan Marcus is here. One of the snacks Dan likes, called Sen Sen.
Kind of
tart and sour.
The packaging is not great. I understand it's very old, but like you got, it's like a toffee fay or something. Like
it's like eating candy flavored charcoal.
Okay.
I am looking on Google and these packages that I'm looking at are...
Conrad likes to look at packages on Google.
Nightlight with Peachwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, women don't need to vote as long as they have a husband, apparently. Andrew Watkins breaks down the church that says this and the politicians who are influenced by it. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, September 9th. Glad to have you along. Decked out in our Brewers gear here on the set. In hour number two, going to be talking with Kelly Call and Sean Hannish about their great film, Just a Bit Outside, which can be seen for free tonight across many broadcast television stations in Wisconsin. We'll give you details about that. But joining us right now via StreamYard from Madison, although he's a Milwaukee native, so he has a beautiful Milwaukee landscape behind him, is the Deputy Assistant Deputy Secretary of the Department of Workforce Development here in Wisconsin. Lee Sensenbrenner joins us. Deputy Secretary, thank you very much for being here. How are you today?
Great, Dan. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Thank you so very much for asking. This is timely, timely indeed, as Mike Lucas says, because the federal jobs numbers just got ticked down. Turns out they were off by, you know, only a million. And I think a lot of people are looking at the workforce right now saying, hey, I need a better job, or I'm underemployed, I want a better paying job, or just looking for work out there. So I know it's Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development Month, so I'm very happy to have you for this discussion. But as we do with all of our guests appearing on the show for the first time, as we say, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and how you ended up in this position.
Sure. Yeah, well, thanks a lot for having me. I started off as a newspaper reporter. I worked for the Cap-Times, and I got into government, I think, is an extension of that. You know, you watch the issues and cover things. And then I was part of the office of Governor Jim Doyle, and then worked in a variety of state agencies, and then the University of Wisconsin-Madison and some private businesses. Before I went back to state government, I was at the Department of Transportation for 4 or 5 years before coming to DWD, which I've been at for almost 2 years now. So
very good. And just to, you know, the elephant in the room for some people, they're going to, you have a very famous last name, Sensenbrenner. And we don't have to go into the whole story, which you were telling off the air before we got on, but you're not directly related to, as they used to call, Big Jim, former U.S. Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner, but you kind of have some shirt tail relation to the Sensenbrenner name in the Milwaukee area.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, everybody asks, of course, so I'm happy to take care of the elephant in the room, as you called it. I mean, there was a mayor, too, in the 80s in Madison, Joe Sensenbrenner. Yeah. And both Joe and Jim are direct descendants of a guy named Frank Sensenbrenner, who came back from World War One with all these ideas. He was working for Kimberly-Clark, and in World War One they had something called cellulose cotton. Oh. And he thought, well, there's uses for this. We're gonna take this to market. And Kimberly-Clark launched Kotex and Kleenex, which became huge products. And so, you know, that really propelled the family. But I'm not related to, I'm not directly descended from Frank Sensenbrenner. I'm related to his brother, who died at a young age. The story, it could be fake, but they said he fell off a ladder or something. So
really?
That's my
So you get the name, but you didn't get any of the family wealth, as it turned out, unfortunately. For you.
Yeah.
But I did
name,
see,
but no benefits, right?
I mean that's a fine name, but I did see, I think, if I did my research right, you were on the University of Wisconsin Madison crew team, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that was fantastic. I mean, I still go up and ski the Birkebeiner with my friends who are fellow rowers. So, yeah, that's a tremendous experience. And if anyone's out there listening and or their kids are interested in rowing, go for it. It's a wonderful sport, and especially at UW-Madison.
Well, and I love going down, especially this time of year, going down to Memorial Terrace and in either in the morning or the afternoon and watch the boats, you know, and practice, whatever. It's just, it's quintessential Madison this time of year. But anyway, as they say, that's not why you called. We're talking with Assistant Deputy Secretary Lee Sensenbrenner of the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. As we said, it is Department of Workforce Development Month. Tell us, Deputy Secretary Sensenbrenner, what does that mean and what are you trying to get the word out, particularly this month?
Yeah, Governor Evers declared it Workforce Development Month. It kind of, I think, too, this time of year, you just kind of feel a sense of energy, school starting, the air changes, and it's a time where all throughout the year, we're helping people get jobs, but starting tomorrow, we have what we call Workforce Wednesdays, which are at all of our job center locations. We've got more than 24 job centers across the state. And so they'll be hosting Workforce Wednesdays to help people connect. We've got career navigators to kind of look at people's resumes and see opportunities and help guide them to, you know, either getting a job, finding a better job. You know, I think a lot of people, it's a time that a lot of people can use some help. So we're ready to assist.
When you talk about these job centers in Wisconsin, I'm assuming that people go to the workforce development website in Wisconsin, might list those. But what sort of partnerships do you have within communities to the average person out there? What does this really mean? What services are being provided for someone looking for a job or looking for a different or better job?
Sure. I mean, some of the job centers are standalone offices. Some of them are in libraries. So they're integrated into the community and we work with workforce development areas. So we've got, you know, local people who understand the job markets and can assist. And we also work with employers, too, because a lot of times employers, especially last year, it was really tight labor market. So they're looking for people to hire. So it goes both ways. They can help recruit and they can help point people in directions where there are real opportunity. And part of that, too, is apprenticeship programs, too, can be a great thing if you're looking to go into a different career or explore new options. But yeah, I mean, you hit it really on the head. I mean, being integrated in the community and developing relationships with employers and finding people who are looking for jobs is a key part of the job center staff. So, I think you get hunting for a job can be pretty lonely and frustrating, right? And so the job centers are a chance to actually talk with a person who has expertise and years of helping people navigate this. So it's worth checking out. And like I said, those the Workforce Wednesdays from 10 to noon starting tomorrow and then going for the next few weeks are a great opportunity. And they are listed on our website. If you just Google DWD or Job Centers of Wisconsin, you'll hit them.
We're talking with Assistant Deputy Secretary at Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, Lee Sensenbrenner, via StreamYard here. Mr. Deputy Secretary, I've looked for jobs later. I mean, I'm 55. I've been at this job for a little over 3 years, going on 3 years. But I was in my 40s, near 50, looking for a different job or finding myself unemployed. For me, it was the whole thing now. Everybody wants to do everything. You know, the in-person interview is almost gone. You have to find internet, finding the camera, making it look good, having the online interview. And also now all the resumes are electronic. So are there things that these job centers could help people of any age in putting together an electronic resume and doing online interviews?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, what if it's been 10 years since you looked for your last job? The landscape could be completely unfamiliar, right? I mean, all kinds of things like you just touched on, how to make your resume stand out in this age. And you know, there could be people who've never done an online interview, completely foreign. So to practice that and to, do the setup, run through some things, I think that's exactly kind of the things that the staff at DWD is ready to help with.
I find that just great because it's very intimidating when you get to a certain age and you're competing with 20 and 30 somethings. This is all just second nature to them. And you're going, wait, last time I was in the job force, I had a 2-page paper resume that I either brought in or mailed in. And it's just very, very different. Also, in terms of where do you look for a job? Again, when I was growing up, you go to the Sunday Wisconsin State Journal and everything's posted there. Are there aggregate websites or does DWD have a way that someone can say, hey, if I'm looking for a job in X vocation, where can I just find out where those jobs are located?
Yeah, Job Center of Wisconsin does a good job of aggregating a lot of jobs. We try to capture as many as we can. So that's kind of, you know, you talked about the Sunday State Journal or, you know, the Journal Sentinel. I mean,
those days are almost gone, right? Yeah.
Right. So, we're trying to build that kind of system where you can kind of see all the options that might be out there for you.
So on the other side of things, if you're an employer and, you know, Wisconsin is fortunate, we have a relatively low unemployment rate. How does DWD work with employers, job creators, to help them find workers? Because I hear from people trying to find, hey, I can't find quote unquote qualified people out there.
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. And there's a lot of different approaches to that. And part of it too, depends on training workers for the jobs that an employer might need. Right. And that's why we've seen, I think, tremendous growth in apprenticeship programs. We've had record apprenticeship participation in the last few years, each year higher and higher. So I think training workers to fit employers' needs is one way. We've got a lot of grants out there that help build skills that are in high demand for the workforce. But it is a constant area of focus where we're looking at how we can help both sides. You know, talent meets opportunity. And a lot of it's very direct one-on-one, trying to meet employers' needs and find out how we can help the person who's looking for a job who hasn't maybe in 15 years or so.
A little over 2 minutes left, Deputy Secretary. Let's touch a little bit more on this Wisconsin apprenticeship program, because I think this is really, really exciting. As cost of education, it goes higher, might be inaccessible to some people. Are these situations where if you have a skill and are willing to put in the sweat, you can go right into an apprenticeship program? Are they just blue collar jobs or also like tech, IT computer things?
Yeah, it's really broad now. I mean, maybe people think of apprenticeship and they think of the building trades or other trades. And those are certainly like very strong and sought after apprenticeships. They continue to grow. But now we've got apprenticeships in all kinds of fields. For anything you said, healthcare, or you said IT, but also healthcare. Yeah. And youth apprenticeship too is really growing. We have youth apprenticeships in law enforcement and firefighting and, you know, the scope of apprenticeship in Wisconsin has a tremendous history in apprenticeship. We were an early state the first state really to launch the apprenticeship model. And we continue to just build and build, look for new pathways and new ways to let people earn as you learn, you know, because mm-hmm. it's really a model where you don't have to take on enormous student debt, that you can keep paying your bills and gain a career.
I find it extraordinary. I think that so often state government gets knocked for what do they actually do? You hear that? Well, here's a great example at Department of Workforce Development where you're doing real things in communities to help both people find work and employers find qualified workers. And for these apprenticeship programs, you're not asking people to put out thousands of dollars necessarily in education, which people might not have. So I applaud you. I applaud the department and the governor for doing this. Assistant Deputy Secretary of Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development, Lee Sensenbrenner, thank you very much for taking time with us today. And we encourage everybody to go on the DWD website and learn more.
Well, thanks, Todd, and thanks for all your attention to workforce issues, and this has been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure was ours, and I got to talk a little rowing as well. Come on back. We'll have more on the other side of the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. National Voter Registration Day is coming up on September 16th, with nationwide events to encourage eligible voters to register and check their registration. With no national election as incentive this year, organizers point to local and special elections and a readiness to vote in the 2026 midterms as reasons to consider registering or reviewing registration status. The U.S. Census estimates 174 million Americans were registered to vote in 2024 out of an eligible voting age population of 236 million citizens. Pew Research found 18% of non-voters cited not being registered as a major reason for not voting. For those who are registered, changes in election law, such as more frequent purges of inactive voter registrations and lack of citizenship documents on file, could potentially make millions of Americans ineligible prior to the 2026 midterms. Many states offer online tools to check registration status. National Voter Registration Day's organizers said in a statement that over 1,700 community partners and 3,500 local organizations will participate this year, including municipalities, schools, and support agencies. More information for interested community partners is available at nationalvoterregistrationday.org. We have links to the site and our past series on why more Americans don't vote at americandemocracyminute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns, it's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at hazeldenbettyford.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 8 minutes now before the hour of 3 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday. September 9th, 2025. Zommer's on the board. Many thanks to Assistant Deputy Secretary Lee Sensenbrenner, the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development. Now there, that's some good things that you can actually use, because I know when I was looking, I've been looking for jobs at different points in my life, it can be very, very intimidating. And I'm not here to tell you, and I don't think the assistant deputy secretary was either, you might not find every answer at the Department of Workforce Development website or their job centers, but it's a start. And I think when you're out of work and you're looking for work, you just need somebody to help start you out. And so I would encourage people to go to the DWD website and start there. Many thanks for him taking his time. Now, this is fantastic. People say, Todd, do you enjoy your job? And I say, I love it. And one of the reasons is we're live. You never know who's going to stop by. You never know who's going to be listening. And this is fantastic because earlier in the show, if you're with us, I read a text from one of our listeners, Manuel, listening here in Madison on WMDX, because in hour number two, as you can see from the set, we're going to have our friends Kelly Call and Sean Hannes from Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers on. And Manuel texted in and said he is on the Apple Plus TV crew, which I subscribe to, and I watched the game on Friday. And he said that Pat Murphy hung out with the crew after the game, and now here joining us via the telephone, Manuel from Apple Plus TV for the Brewers crew. Manuel, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you very much for texting and calling in. So how long have you been with the Apple TV crew?
Yeah, so this is my third year with them. I'm actually a vendor for them, working through MLB TV for them as a RF engineer.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, we have a great team, a great crew. When Trisha did the pocket pancake interview, of course, it went viral, and we were all excited. And then we had the Brewers come up again in Pittsburgh. So the producer was like, well, what do you think about like maple syrup? I was like, yeah, I'm going to get some in Wisconsin and bring it for us. And that's how that happened.
I think that's so cool. So whose idea, does Murph come up with these ideas, or is it Trisha? Who said, let's do a quesadilla this time?
Yeah, so Murph comes up with the food idea. He told us that he was going to do something in the interview in D.C. when he pulled up the pocket pancake. We didn't know what it was. And this time we also had no idea, but we had the maple syrup. And I think Trisha did a really great job playing along.
She did. No, she absolutely did. And you posted, you sent a photo on the app here for us of you and Murphy at a bar. So he hung out with you guys after the game.
Yeah, it was incredible. So we were just at the hotel bar at the Renaissance as a team. Spilly, our analyst, had his birthday. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we see this bus stop up front. And we're like, wait, does the team stay here? Somebody comes out, and then the bus carries on. We realize it's Murph walking into the hotel just to come hang out with us. It was incredible.
That's really, really cool. We're talking with Manuel here from Madison, who is part of the Apple TV Plus crew, who covered the Brewers on Friday. So, you know, what, I'm not asking you to share things you can't, but what's he just like as a person to hang out with and have a beer?
You know what? Incredible. He did not drink. He brought his own drink, probably a Gatorade. Didn't want us to buy anything for him. He just hung out with Trisha and our field producer, and I asked him, you know, if I could take a picture with him, and he asked me. I had a Brewers hat on, as you can see in the photo, and he said, who's your favorite brewer? And I said, you know, you are. He said, no, let me guess. And it was interesting because he guessed who my favorite brewer was, and he said, Sal Frelick.
Really?
And I thought it was interesting because, in a sense, I'm kind of thinking, I wonder if he was trying to tell me who his favorite one was, but he can't really say that.
right? Well, that's fantastic because my friends that know me know that Sal Frelick is also my favorite brewer on the team. I just think he's fantastic, and I like his work ethic, and he's hitting like fire right now. And you know that Murph he's always teasing and razzing Sal Frelick. So yeah, maybe there is kind of a cool relationship there. So are you obviously you must follow other teams if you're on the Apple Plus TV team. You don't just do the Brewers, you do each of these games on Friday?
Correct. Yeah, we're going to be in Seattle this coming Friday, then Kansas City and Boston, and then it's time for me to jump to Fox for the postseason.
Wow. That's just, so how long have you been in the, you said you do engineering predominantly, Manuel?
Yeah. So it's the RF infrastructure that I set up, and I've been doing that since 2019. In Madison, I also run a fair trade nonprofit called Ethical Trade Co. We've actually been out with Rocker and Jimmy several times here throughout the program. So
that's
another thing I do on here in Madison as well. Yeah. So.
Well, I think this is fantastic. And again, this is why I love doing this program, because we have great listeners like yourself, and you never know who you're going to talk to. Let's make sure that Zomers, my producer, has your contact info. Let's keep in touch, because we'd love to have you come in and talk a little bit longer sometime, because I've learned that oftentimes it's the people on the crews, whether it's TV or radio, who can really have the best insight into some of these events. And I'm sure you've got a lot of stories from all your travels over the years, Manuel.
Oh, yeah, I would absolutely love that. So if we get to hang out, Todd, that'd be wonderful.
Well, I look forward to it. Let's make sure that stay on the line. I'll have Zomers get your contact info. Manuel from Apple Plus TV, who hung out with Murph and brought the syrup for the quesadilla. How cool is that? Safe travels, Manuel, out to Seattle. My God, one of my godsons lives out there. It's a great city and a great stadium. So safe travels out there. We'll be watching on Friday night.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you very much. Manuel, everybody, from Apple Plus TV, who covered the Brewers last couple of games on Friday. How cool is that, Zombers?
Very. I mean, yeah. I have long held the belief that for any movie or broadcast or anything, behind the scenes information can often be cooler than the thing itself, at least for me. I'm a big nerd about
that. We got it confirmed. I'm not sure anybody else has reported this. It's Pat Murphy, the Brewers manager, who selects the food in the pocket.
Which makes sense. I mean, I would want to pick the food that goes in my pocket.
Exactly. Come on back. Hour number two is straight ahead. Going to start off with some news of two Marquette athletes who were killed this past week. Going to honor them as well. And then later on in the hour, our old friends Sean Hanisch and Kelly Call from Just a Bit Outside. We'll talk about the movie, which is going to be shown for free across Wisconsin television tonight. Big hour number two. Come on back on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Federal prosecutors announced they're pursuing charges against a man who allegedly killed a woman on a commuter train in North Carolina last month.
The federal charge allows the Justice Department to pursue the death penalty against Carlos Brown, the man accused of stabbing a Ukrainian refugee on a light rail train in Charlotte last month. Irina Zarutska died in the attack. The White House says as a repeat offender, the suspect serves as an emblem of a liberal approach to criminal justice. DeCarlos Brown had been arrested at least 14 times before and reportedly had a documented history of schizophrenia.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Israel carried out a strike in Doha, Qatar today, targeting Hamas leadership. The White House says the U.S. military informed the Trump administration about that strike. The move further hinders Gaza ceasefire talks. Apple has rolled out its latest updates on its popular products, including the iPhone 17, updated AirPods, and the iPhone Air. The company calls it the thinnest iPhone to date. This is ABC News.